Amen. This evening, we're continuing our Bible story series with a focus on David and Goliath. And with this as the focus, if you would, let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And if you don't have your Bible, the verses will be on the screen. But it's here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 where we find the prophet Samuel sharing the details of the day when David defeated a Philistine giant whose name was Goliath. Now, as you make your way to the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, I should take a moment to point out that David was still a very young man when he fought that Philistine giant. We don't know exactly how old he was, but the chances are David was probably between the ages of 15 and maybe 17 years old. With that being the case, David was still too young to join the army of Israel, and yet it's here in our text tonight where we discover that he was the only Israelite who actually had the faith to go and fight the Philistine giant. Therefore, the Lord gave him the strength to do just that. The Lord gave him the strength to defeat Goliath. And as we consider the incredible faith of David, it's my hope that we'll all become those believers who are able to fight the good fight of faith by faith in Jesus Christ. And with this as the goal, let's begin our study of this story, which is found here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you would look with me there, beginning at verse 1. Here we learn that the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered to Soko, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Soko and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. Now here in these verses, we find the Philistines. They're preparing to attack the armies of Israel. And it'll help us to remember that the Philistines, these were the descendants of Noah's son, Ham. Remember, we can all trace our lineage back to one of Noah's sons. And these guys could trace their lineage back to Noah's son, Ham. And not only that, but they were also the sworn enemies of Israel. And it's for this reason that they oftentimes attacked the people of God during the days of Samuel. It's for this reason that the armies of Israel, they were always on guard against the attacks of the Philistines. And it's here in our text tonight where we find both armies, they're taking hilltop positions against one another as they prepared for yet another battle. But rather than ordering the attack on Israel, the Philistines went with a different route here. The Philistines instead sent their champion to go and present the Israelites with a very interesting invitation. And with this as the focus, let's pick up our study of 1 Samuel 17. Here we're introduced to this giant champion whose name was Goliath. You would look with me there beginning at verse 4. Here we learn that a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Now, here in these verses, we're introduced to this Philistine giant whose name was Goliath. And according to the measurements that we find here in these verses, we see that this massive man was 6 cubits and a span. Now, there is some debate about the proper measurement of a cubit. We don't know exactly how or the length of a cubit. And with that being the case, Goliath may have been anywhere between 8.5 feet tall to 11.5 feet tall, depending on how long a cubit was. Well, we also learn, though, that Goliath, this huge man, which was who was at least 8.5 feet tall, this man was wearing a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. Now, what that means is that this chain mail that he was wearing, it weighed 125 pounds. He's wearing a chainmail vest, which was 125 pounds, and that's about the average weight of a teenager. So think about that for a moment. Imagine you're heading into battle while giving a teenager a piggyback ride. You know, that's what it was like. That's how much that weighed. Not only that, but there in verse 6, we learn that he also had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now, we aren't told how much bronze instruments weighed, but we can be certain that these articles of armor, they also were extremely heavy. And furthermore, it's there in verse 7 where we learn that the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. In other words, Goliath was carrying a spear which had an 18-pound spearhead on it, and his staff, it was 26 feet long, which tells us that the entire spear weighed 40 pounds. He's running around with a spear that weighs 40 pounds. And as we take into account every piece of Goliath's armor, some have supposed that this giant was carrying no less than 272 pounds of gear. Imagine how difficult that would be for us just to walk around with 272 pounds of gear. And listen, if this giant was able to fight while carrying more than 270 pounds of gear, then it certainly would have been no problem for him to fight like a 200-pound soldier, just pick him up and throw him. This guy was huge. It's for this reason that the sheer size of Goliath was sure to strike fear into the hearts of every Israelite. And not only that, but Goliath's name has since been used as a moniker for things that are comparatively large. For example, there is the Goliath grouper. This is the largest saltwater fish from the grouper family. Then there's the Goliath bird-eating spider, which is the largest tarantula in South America. And just as its name suggests, the Goliath spider is able to capture and kill and eat a bird. And let's not forget about the Goliath frog, which can reach upwards of 12 inches from nose to vent. These huge frogs are as big as a house cat, and they can jump a distance of 10 feet. And while researchers aren't certain about the average lifespan of the Goliath frog, what we do know is that they continue to live until the day they croak. That's right. Now, as we consider the way that the name Goliath has been used as a moniker for critters that are comparatively large to, you know, the rest of them, it might interest you to know that the name Goliath, it's not as scary as it sounds. The name Goliath actually means splendor. That's right. His parents named him Splendor. It's my guess that Goliath's parents wanted him to grow up and become a famous actor. You know, with a name like Splendor, you would think that this guy is destined for, you know, the silver screen, so to speak. And so their dreams were crushed on the day when their son came home and said, "I'm joining the army," you know. And there goes Splendor off to become a soldier. But regardless of his backstory, it wasn't long before this massive man became the champion of the Philistine army. With this as our focus, let's pick up our study of 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll begin reading at verse 8. Here we learn that he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now here in these verses, we find Goliath inviting the Israelites to send out their strongest soldier. He wanted to go mano a mano, so to speak. And the winner of this military match would secure the freedom of their people, as well as the slavery of the opposing side. And as we consider this wager, we shouldn't be surprised to learn that the Israelites were dismayed as they considered this challenge. Now, that word dismayed, it speaks of discouragement. And not only discouragement, but it also speaks of terror. In other words, the men of Israel were completely terrified by this giant for good reason. I mean, who could defeat this massive man? It's for this reason that they lacked the courage to go out. There was not one soldier there on that hilltop who was ready to go down and face this giant. We also learn that they were greatly afraid, which tells us that these men were exceedingly fearful, even to the point of trembling. You might say that they were shaking in their sandals. Therefore, they were discouraged because they knew that they were about to lose this fight and become the slaves of the Philistines. Thankfully for them, there was a young boy named David who truly believed that God is greater than the giant. With this in mind, let's continue to make our way through 1 Samuel 17. If you would, let's pick up our study there, beginning at verse 12. Here we learn that David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." Now, here in these verses, we learn a little bit more about the backstory of David. David was the youngest of 8 sons, and so he was probably seen as the baby of the family. You know, the youngest one is always the baby of the family, and they get all the special treatment. And I'm guessing that was maybe true of David. And while we aren't given the ages of his brothers, what we do know is that his 3 oldest brothers had followed Saul to the battlefield. Thankfully for them, their father decided to send David with provisions in hand, and this included 10 loaves of bread and 10 cheeses. That just sounds delicious. Bread and 10 cheeses. You know your father loves you if he sends you bread and cheese. And this is proof of that right here. But it was at the time of this Uber delivery here when the spirit of David was provoked within him as he heard the words of Goliath. As a matter of fact, look with me again there at 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll pick up our study at verse 19. Here we learn that Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper and ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So it shall be done for the man who kills him." Now here in these verses we find David, he's enraged over the fact that Goliath was standing there defying the army of the living God. David was just beside himself. He's sitting there thinking, why are you allowing this guy to speak this way about the armies of the living God? Now, as he asks this question about this man defying the army of the living God, I should point out that the word defy, it speaks of bringing reproach to or taunting someone. And as we consider David's question, it seems to me that David was not only offended by the words of Goliath, but he was also disappointed by the fact that the army of the living God was failing to fight the good fight of faith. The entire army, every soldier there on the battlefield, was just allowing this giant to continue talking trash. In similar fashion, there are many in the church today who are failing to fight the good fight of faith. And the reason why is due to the fact that they're focusing all of their attention on the giant that's threatening their life. That's exactly what those soldiers were doing. They were looking at the giant. They were imagining themselves fighting the giant. And as they focused on the giant, they lost sight of faith. They lost sight of the fact that the God of heaven and earth is the one who gave life to that giant. And it's sad that there are so many in the church today who have the same issue. They're focused on the source of their fear rather than having faith in God. We currently find ourselves facing a huge giant, this giant virus, which has filled our hearts with fear. And yet, rather than focusing on the virus, let's focus on the Lord. And let's remember that, hey, God can deal with this. God created everything, the entire universe. What's a little virus to him? Let's get our focus off of the source of our fear and get our focus back on God so that we can fight the good fight of faith. Sadly, many saints are allowing their fear of this giant to lead them away from their Christian congregation. And with that being the case, I encourage you to remember that the born-again believer is a servant of the living God. Therefore, we can take courage in the fact that we serve the one who's able to defeat every giant. Any giant that defies the church of the living God, God can defeat. And so let's fight the good fight of faith. With this as the goal, let's consider the courage that David demonstrates here in our text tonight as he prepares to fight this giant Philistine. Let's pick up our study of 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll begin reading there at verse 28. Here Samuel writes, "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, 'Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.' And David said, 'What have I done now? Is there not a cause?' Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.'" Now here in these verses, we find David's brother Eliab questioning David's motive, even accusing him of coming out for the wrong reasons. And not only that, but then King Saul turns around and attempts to convince David that there was no possible way that he could go and defeat the Philistine giant. The reason being, he was too young and therefore too unskilled in battle. And Goliath was a man of war. And in Saul's reasoning, there's just no way that David would be able to go out and win. And you know, the end result of losing would be their enslavement. And so Saul wasn't ready to risk it. Saul didn't believe. He didn't have faith in David, and he didn't have faith in God. I know that we all know someone who is always there to discourage us from fighting the good fight of faith. We all know that Eliab, we all know that Saul, who's ready to come in and just say, no, you can't do this. You won't get the victory if you move forward in faith. You're going to fail. It's not going to work out well for you. They're always right there ready to discourage us. And while these people have their reasons that sound reasonable for why we shouldn't move forward in faith, the fact of the matter is they're focused on their fear of the giant. That's where their focus is. They're focusing on their fear of the giant rather than their faith in the one who made everything in the entire universe, including the giant. It's for this reason that I encourage every Christian, stop staring at the giant and start trusting the Lord. In this way, we can fight the good fight of faith. Let's consider David's example, which is found here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll pick up our study there at verse 34. Here we learn that David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover," David said, "the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Here in these verses, we find David, he's helping King Saul to understand that he was going out to fight the Philistine, not in his own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. He was planning to step onto the battlefield in the superior strength of our Savior. And in light of David's example here, it's crucial for every Christian to realize that the Lord isn't calling us to go out and fight the good fight of faith in our own strength. If the Lord were calling us to go and fight in our own strength, then you better believe that we should be filled with fear. Because if we have to go fight this spiritual battle in our own strength, then you better believe we're going to lose the battle. But the Lord isn't calling us to go and fight the good fight of faith in our own strength. No, instead, we've been called to take a stand in the spiritual strength of our Savior. And in this way, we can wage war against the giants that seek to enslave the saints of God with fear. It's also important for us to remember that the Lord has provided us with the spiritual armor that we need. So not only just the spiritual strength, but also the spiritual armor that we need to win this war against wickedness. And with this as the focus, let's pick up our study of 1 Samuel 17. If you would look with me there, beginning at verse 38, where we learn that Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Now here in these verses, we find Saul encouraging David to put on the armor that every soldier there in the army was wearing. Some commentators believe that Saul was actually trying to put his own personal armor on David, and yet I would remind you that Saul was actually the tallest Israelite in all the land. Remember when he was ordained, I mean, they could see him head above shoulders. And so it seems highly unlikely that Saul would take armor for his height and try to put it on this shorter David. Chances are Saul grabbed some armor that would have actually fit David's stature and then proceeded to convince him that he ought to wear this armor before going out to fight Goliath. As a matter of fact, notice again in verse 38 where we learn that Saul clothed David with his armor and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. Now this armor, it would have included a breastplate which was designed to protect his vital organs. And then the rest of it, the bronze helmet, and it was also uncomfortable, and it hindered David's ability to move forward. And this is so important for us to understand that something that would hinder us from moving forward in faith, it just needs to be left behind. And that's what David did. He shed the armor that Saul was encouraging him to wear because it was going to keep him from winning this battle. It was going to hinder him as he moved forward. In this way, we can see that David's faith, it wasn't in the armor made by men. No, his faith was in the armor that's provided by the Lord. The Lord was going to provide David with all the armor that he needed. And this reminds me of something that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, where he instructs every believer to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Christian, listen, the Lord has given us the spiritual strength that we need to fight the good fight of faith, and he's given us the spiritual armor that we need so that we can win this war against wickedness. That's why we've been called to put on the armor of light. And the armor of light is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's put on the armor of light and stand in the strength of our Savior, knowing that the Lord is the one who is able to protect us from the attacks of the enemy. And not only that, but he will also enable us to defeat the giants who are trying to lead us back into the bondage of fear. With this as our focus, let's continue to consider the way that the Lord helped David to defeat Goliath. If you would, let's pick up our study of 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 40. Here we learn that he took his staff in hand And he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Now here in these verses we find David, he's now stepping out onto the battlefield, and his goal was to go and fight Goliath. And as Goliath sized up his small opponent, he was not only insulted and offended, but he was enraged by the perceived arrogance of this scrawny youngster. He's like, it's a complete insult that not only, are you sending out, this little guy, but, you're sending out a youth. Yeah, I'm sure that he's thinking, they don't respect him as a soldier at all to send out such a young, short kid. I mean, it would be kind of like Arnold Schwarzenegger trying to fight Thanos. It just would be unimaginable. It would be like Elijah Wood attempting to fight, Andre the Giant. Without a doubt, Andre the Giant, would think that it would be ridiculous for Frodo to come and step in the ring. Just wouldn't make sense. It was an insult. Notice again there in verse 42 where we learn that the Philistine looked about and saw David, and he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. Three words never used of me. A youth, ruddy, and good-looking. But he disdained him, and that word disdain helps us to see that Goliath regarded David as an unworthy opponent, which is why he began to ridicule the ruddy young man. Goliath even began to curse David in the name of his false gods. Whatever false gods, he called upon, he was cursing David by those gods. And not only that, but he also swore that David's carcass would soon be food for the birds and the beasts. In response, David assured the giant that the Lord of hosts was about to give him the victory. As a matter of fact, let's consider David's response found here in 1 Samuel 17. Let's pick up our study there at verse 45. Here Samuel tells us that David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." What a response. And as we consider David's incredible response here, there should be no doubt that David was a man of incredible faith. Incredible faith. For the sake of clarity, it'll help you to know that the word faith, it actually refers to the confident conviction that something is true. He wasn't hoping that these things were true. He had a confident conviction that God was about to give him the victory. And we see David demonstrating his faith as he communicated his confident conviction in the Lord's ability to give him the victory. He wasn't just trash-talking Goliath. He was letting him know what God was about to do. And that's the kind of faith that David had. And listen, David wasn't trusting in his own ability. He didn't have faith in his own skill set. He didn't have faith in his ability to wield a weapon. I mean, he had a sling and some stones. He wasn't relying upon his own physical strength. He knew that he was just a little short guy next to Goliath. He wasn't relying upon his own, power, his own strength to defeat the giant. No, instead, David was fighting the good fight of faith as he relied solely on the Lord to deliver Goliath into his hands. In contrast to this, we find Goliath relying on his size, relying on his skills, relying on his own strength. Goliath's faith was in himself. He knew that he had the size, the skills, and the strength to defeat David. Unfortunately for him, his size, his skills, and his strength were entirely insufficient for this fight. And the reason why is due to the fact that he wasn't just fighting David. He was fighting a battle against God Almighty. And it's sad to say that Goliath found out the hard way that you can't pick a fight against God and win. This is something that we really need to grasp, that you can't fight against God and win. And it's sad that I've seen so many Christians fighting with God. I've seen Christians in the church fighting with what the Bible says. Well, I know the Bible says this, you know, but I'm going to go in this other direction. You can't fight God and win. It won't work out for you. God's going to win every single time. You can't fight against God and win. And with this in mind, I want to consider the way that the Lord enabled David to defeat this Philistine giant. Let's pick up our study of 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 48. Here Samuel declares, "So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth." So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now here in these verses, we find the details of the way that the Lord gave David the victory over this huge enemy. And while I have no doubt that everyone on both sides of the battle line had placed their bet on Goliath, they were all shocked as they watched the Lord bless the faith of David by empowering him to defeat the champion of Gath. In similar fashion, the Lord is also able to give us the victory over every giant. And you know, everybody might be betting against you. Everybody around you might be thinking, there's no way this guy is going to get the victory. And yet it's so important for us to understand that the Lord is able to give us the victory, even when everybody bets against us. At the same time, it's also important for us to realize that we've been called to fight the good fight of faith. And as we do, that's how the Lord gives us the victory over the giants that try to lead us back into the life of bondage. If you're going to sit there, you know, behind the battle lines and cower and you know, hide from the fight, you don't enjoy the victory that the Lord already secured for you. But if you step out in faith, then you get to enjoy the victory over every giant. And it's for this reason that those who want to enjoy the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ must step up and fight the good fight of faith. This reminds me of the encouragement that Paul presented to Pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, is verse 12, where he declares, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Christian, listen. We've been called to fight the good fight of faith. And what this means is that we've been called to maintain a confident conviction in the Lord's ability to give us the victory over the enemy. The victory is already ours. The question is, are we enjoying that victory? Are we walking in that victory? Are we defeating the giants in our life by faith in Jesus Christ? The chances are there is a giant in your life, even tonight. There's a giant that's trying to enslave you with fear. Maybe it's a giant fear of failure. Maybe it's a giant fear of being abandoned. Maybe it's a giant fear of, you know, what might happen tomorrow. But regardless of the giant fear that you're facing tonight, I encourage you to remember that the battle is the Lord's. and he will give you the victory. Not only that, but it's also important to remember that the victory, it's already been given to those who trust in Jesus Christ. And I like the way that Paul put it in Romans chapter 8, where he declares, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Christian, listen, in Jesus Christ, we are already more than conquerors. Therefore, there is no giant that can separate us from the love of the Lord. There is no giant that can keep us from experiencing the love of Jesus. Therefore, rather than living in fear of the giant to attempt to enslave us, let's instead follow the example that David demonstrated on that day when he stepped out in faith. And the Lord empowered him to defeat Goliath. And this we will do, Christian. This we will do as we continue to fight the good fight of faith. Let's continue to walk with complete confidence in Christ Jesus so that we can enjoy the victory that we received on the day when we placed our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.